Recently, there's been a lot of talk, both from the secular and the religious world, about the possibility of some sort of climatic or catastrophic event that may take place during the month of September of 2015. We've observed such events as earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, some sorts of aggressor action, financial collapses such as taken place in Greece recently, or the collapse of society even as we know it. We've also heard just recently about a meteor that hit in the country of Iran. So there's all sorts of things that are going on right now that are causing people to speculate about what could happen during the month of September. Of course, there's also the information that's out there considering the four blood moons and some of the events that take place in the Shemitah year that have some people talking about, could this possibly be the time that Jesus will return for his bride, when the rapture of the church will take place, or some of these other events that could happen with the coming of the Lord. So we're going to talk about these things because what we're going to talk about could be applicable really at any time. Jesus, in talking to his disciples about the signs of his coming, said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, "Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Later, Jesus also likened his coming to that of a bridegroom coming for his bride, and there he gives the parable of the 10 virgins, which we read in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through several other verses here, but we want to read particularly verses 1 and 2. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish." As he goes on and talks about this parable, we learn how Jesus is talking about those who went, 5 of them who were wise, or considered wise, took preparation, because you see, they didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come. They didn't know the exact moment. They didn't know the exact time. They just knew he was going to be coming. But they went prepared in case they had to wait a little while for the bridegroom to come. But then it speaks of 5 others who went, and they were not prepared. It said they didn't take extra oil for their lamp. And so when their lamps went out and they needed oil for their lamps, they had to go looking somewhere else to find that oil to burn in their lamps. And of course, what happens when you're least prepared? Guess what? The bridegroom came. And we're told that they were unable to get into the marriage supper there that was taking place. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13 says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You know, a lot of people are trying to set dates. I've heard like September 25th, I think it is, September 28th. And we've had people recently, just within the last few years, that have set dates. There was the one man who set a particular date that was, I think, supposed to happen in May a few years ago, and that event came and went. And then he said, "Well, I made a miscalculation. Now it's such and such date." And guess what? That date came and went as well. Well, again, Jesus speaking to his disciples about the end of the age, as is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And it also talks about that nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom in Luke chapter 21, verse 10. And a point of interest here, I was looking up last night, the Greek word ethnos, which is translated nation 64 times in the King James Version, is translated Gentiles 93 times. So 93 times that word can be Gentile. So it could read Gentiles against Gentiles, people against people. And what are we seeing today? You have people rising up against people, ethnic group against ethnic group, society against society. You name it, there's a group rising up against another group. And it seems like it's just getting worse and worse. And those that are rising up against one another, those that are trying to overtake and get their point across and do this or do that, So we've got this taking place, that nation is rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And you read in the news or hear in the news about the wars and all that are going on in various parts of the world. And even though it may not be a war between two major nations such as we've had in the past, or a group of nations against another group of nations like we've had in the past, it's still small groups against small groups. And everywhere you go in the world today, that's taking place. We even have people right here in our own country that are trying to stir up war and bring and turn people against other people. There, remember a few years ago, and this has been really quite some time back, I guess, really, but there was a guy by the name of Charles Manson. You all heard of Charles Manson? And he was another one of these people who tried to convince his followers that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. And he was going to bring about this great event by causing great racial division and racial war. That was his whole purpose in killing the people that they killed, was to stir up racial division and cause a race war. And we see people today that are still trying to do stuff like that. So you've got these things taking place. He talks about in verse 11 of chapter 21, earthquakes, and we, of course, hear of earthquakes all the time anymore, pestilence, and famines, and fearful sights, droughts, and stuff like that. Part of our country has been in a severe drought, where other parts are getting an abundance of rain, in fact, almost too much rain. You have various parts of the world that are getting drought, various parts that are getting rain. All of these events taking place, fearful sights. So we're seeing these types of events unfold. We're seeing activities take place that will cause us to sometimes look and say, what in the world is going to happen? How is this going to come about? So we see these events begin to unfold before our very eyes as we see the events that Jesus spoke about taking place. He goes on to talk about, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, in chapter 21, verse 12. And today Christians are being persecuted in all countries of the world, including, guess where? The United States of America. Last month, in July of 2015, pastors and ministers in the state of Kentucky who perform certain functions for the state were told they could no longer say that homosexuality was a sin, which violates their commitment to the Word of God. You can get up and teach the Bible as long as you don't teach certain parts of the Bible. And we, the state, will determine which parts of the Bible you can teach. That's taking place in a nearby state. In Canada, some biblical doctrines, including, if I recall correctly, teaching against homosexuality, is considered a hate crime. You can be prosecuted for it. You can be fined. I suppose you could be put in prison for hate speech. In Oregon, you can be fined and even put out of business for standing up for your religious beliefs. But guess what? That's only if you're a Christian. There has not been one case of somebody who was a Muslim whose doctrine on homosexuality happens to be a lot stronger than most Christians are about it, because they believe if the person's homosexual, you kill them. That's their way of handling it. But yet, there has not been one case of a Muslim being persecuted or prosecuted for standing up against homosexuality and saying it's a sin. We're seeing this take place in America, folks. In Oregon also, children age 15 and older who are in school, especially if they're in school, because most of them are in school until they're about 18, something like that. Then they're considered legally an adult at age 18. They got to have a note to go on a field trip with the school. Parental consent. They've got to have parental consent to do a number of different things. They want to get a driver's license. The parents got to sign. All of these things. But, and I'm not quite sure if this law has gone into effect, if it's something they're trying to put into effect, but they can go and decide, oh, I don't like being a male anymore, I want to be female, and the state of Oregon will pay for that surgery to change them. But guess what science tells us? Science tells us you may have been a male, and you may now look female on the outside, but guess what? You are still a male. It does not change your DNA. There's a number of things about you. It does not change. But they can do that without parental consent at the age of 15. Goes on to tell us you will be betrayed by family, friends, and some shall be put to death. You will be hated. Chapter 21, verses 16 through 17. We see that in some of the countries of the world right now. If a family member converts to Christianity, they'll put out a death warrant on them. They feel that they're doing their God a service by killing you. When we went to Trinidad in the 1980s, we stayed with a pastor there in his home while we were there for a couple of days. And he was raised in a Muslim home. In fact, his family wanted him to be a Muslim priest or a Muslim holy man, and they were preparing him for that. And I've told you the story before, so some of you may remember it. But anyway, one of his relatives, I believe it was an uncle, owned a store, and I guess his uncle was a little bit of a kind-hearted man, and a Christian person came in to buy some, and apparently it was a grocery store type business, maybe, and the Christian didn't have enough money, and so he offered to take something from them in exchange for giving them the supplies that they needed. The only thing they had that they could give was their Bible. And he offered to take it, and he got it, and he said, I can't use this, and threw it up on the shelf. So the pastor that we were staying with as a young man, he saw this laying up on the shelf, and he wanted to look at it, and because he wanted to see if it had pictures in it. How many, a lot of Bibles printed years ago had pictures in them, especially larger type Bibles. And he wanted to see if there was a picture of the Christian God in this book. So he asked his uncle if he could have it, and his uncle said, yeah, I don't want it, So he took it, and he looked through looking for the pictures to see if he could find that picture of a Christian God. Well, he didn't find the picture of the Christian God, but he found God in the pages of that book, and he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and guess what? His family wanted to kill him. And for a while, he kind of had a death warrant on his head. But you know what the outcome of it was? He hung true to his belief in Jesus Christ, of what God had done in his life. And slowly, one by one, members of his family came around and they accepted the God of the Bible. Became Christians. And as we were there, he had a beautiful church building where he was pastoring. Family members had helped pay for that building to be built. Former Muslims who had given their heart to Jesus Christ were paying now to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout Trinidad. Some of them owned shops, and you could go to their shop and hear Christian music playing. In fact, I walked into one of the shops while we were there, and I hear somebody preaching on the radio. At least it sounded like the radio. And then I realized later it was a cassette being played. And I realized the voice was mine. And they had recorded the previous night's service. And they were playing it back in the shop for all who walked into the shop to hear. So they were then going forward. But for a while, he was hated by his family. He was hated by some of his friends. And Christians throughout the world today are being hated by family, friends, by government for their Christian stand. There are people in prison today in some parts of the world that are there simply because they are a Christian. No other reason. Their only crime, being a Christian. Jerusalem, compassed about by armies, chapter 21, verse 20. It seems like we're getting to the point that almost all the world is standing against Israel and against Jerusalem. A few countries are still taking a stand and saying, we will support Israel. Our country, sadly to say, is very much wavering in its commitment to support Israel. I feel sorry for our country as it wavers like that, because God says those who bless Israel, he will bless, and those who curse Israel, he will curse. So we're seeing it happen. We're seeing it take place. Kind of interesting, there is one little country right next to Israel that's Israel's willing to defend, and that's Jordan. Jordan's kind of a buffer in there. But God also speaks about, the Bible also speaks about in the last days, some of the things that will take place involve Jordan, and there's a reason for why they're standing there with their support of Israel that they do have, although we don't always think of it that way. Bible goes on to tell us about things that are happening right now, even men's hearts failing them for fear of things that are coming on the earth. Chapter 21, verse 26. There's a lot of people out there that are scared of what's about to happen. There's people running to and fro. You can read, you can see it some on some television programs probably, and I know you see it spread over social media about an inducement to fear of what's about to take place. Quick, these great events are going to take place. You need to stock up your food. You need to get a 2-year food supply. You need to take all your money, pull all your money out of the bank and make it in, you know, turn it into gold and do this and do that. Well, my question is, if you take your money out of the bank and turn it into gold, where are you going to keep the gold? Because most of you are not going to keep it at your house. And how do you know that you can really trust the person that's keeping the gold for you? And how do you know that the price of gold might not suddenly just fall through the bottom as well? It's happened before. How do you know that all of these other things, what you're going into, may end up being a worse investment than what you just got out of? But we're putting fear into the hearts of men, trying to get them convinced that they need to do this, you got to do that, you got to run and do that. Remember the events that were going to take place when we changed over from 1999 to 2000. Computers were going to crash, the electric grid was going to fail, all kinds of events like that were going to happen. And yeah, there were some little minor glitches possibly in certain things. Some older computers didn't update the way they should have, but it didn't affect us that much, if any, that it affected us. In fact, I remember getting a phone call as it turned midnight at our house from somebody that was in a time zone 2 hours away and asking what was going on. And I've got the television on because we just watched the New Year's ball drop in New York City on television, you know. And the TV's on, and it's loud enough that the person on the phone could probably hear it. And I jokingly said, yeah, the power's out and all this stuff. And I gave them this big line, you know. Right in the background, I'm being contradicted. But they were starting to believe me that this was happening. And I thought, if it's happening here, it's going to be happening elsewhere as well. Wake up, people. It's not just going to be here and then here and then here and then here. But we're predicting events like that again. And what might be happening And again, people are trying to say, oh, watch out, September 2015. Big events could take place. Earth-shaking events could take place. Sanctuary. How many know what a sanctuary is? What is it? What? A place of safety. Now, we call this part of the church building many times a sanctuary because we consider it. Because if you look up the definition of the word, it's also translated and has a definition of being a holy or consecrated place, as well as a place of safety. And in the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament, we read of cities of refuge. And those cities, what we call cities of refuge in the Old Testament today, are called sanctuary cities. Heard of sanctuary cities? As one got in the news just a few weeks ago in San Francisco, supposedly is a sanctuary city. And the problem was, a person was given sanctuary there who was a murderer. He committed other crimes, but he's been given sanctuary. And should have been turned into the authorities for prosecution, but they were not. And we see that going on. But a safe place, but that safe place has been violated. We heard about it just a few weeks ago when that gunman burst into the Bible, or he didn't burst in, he came to the Bible study at the church in Charleston, South Carolina, and then at the end of the, close to the end of the Bible study, got up and began to shoot. Safe place wasn't safe anymore. We come here and we call this part of the building the sanctuary, and we come here because we believe it and we have consecrated it to be a holy place before God, a place where we come together to worship God. But you know what? A sanctuary can be in a tent as far as that goes. Remember, the tabernacle in the wilderness was basically a tent. That can be a sanctuary, a holy place. But our holy place has been violated. And we're seeing it happen more and more. I read events, several events of people that have been shot inside a church building. And the sanctuary, in some cases, the sanctuary, or what we sometimes refer to also as the auditorium portion of the building. Because the safe place isn't safe any longer. We see that happening. Our safety has been violated. And yet, in some cases, it's been threatened even more by safety given to those who are criminals, when they should have been prosecuted. Luke chapter 21, verse 27 says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." We're looking forward to seeing Jesus coming back. Amen. Looking forward to His return. He goes on in verse 28 and said, "When these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." We know that our redemption draweth nigh. Is it today? I don't know. For some people, they might go to meet the Lord today. Some people will. Is it tomorrow? Is it next month? Is it a year from now? I don't have the answer to that, but I do know what the Bible tells me that I am to look for, that I can know that the event is at hand. Now, when we talk about, among us as human beings, an event is at hand, we're expecting it to be, you know, within a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, or something like that. You know, and there's an event that's going to take place, and it's at hand because it's taking place tomorrow. The Bible tells us this event's at hand, but God's time clock doesn't run with our time clock necessarily. And so it could be weeks and months, even years away. But I know that the event is at hand. And I know it's not going to be too much longer in the future before it's going to take place, because God's word never fails. He said, "I'm coming, and when these events take place, look up before your redemption draws nigh." He's coming again. He goes on to say, well, we ask, as some people are preaching, Jesus is coming in September of 2015. Some people, remember a couple of years ago, I think it was just about 2 years ago, something like that, we had the guy that predicted Jesus was going to come on a particular date. He had billboards that was going to take place, certain date. The date came and went. I miscalculated here, and he put out a new date. And that date came and went, and we're still here. Jesus didn't come. And of course, there have been date setters throughout history. I know I read an article just the other day. Is it time to move to Montana and sit there and do rapture practice, is what they said as part of the article. And there have been people that have done that. No, we'll go to this mountaintop because we want to be closer. I mean, we want to be really the first to go up because we're on the mountaintop. You know, that isn't the way it's going to work. These are those who think they have an answer, but they're actually only speculating as to what will take place. They're speculating. But there is a way to be prepared. There is a way to be prepared. And I know I hear some people tell you on TV, the way to be prepared. Now, what you got to do is you call in with your credit card, and we're going to send you 2 years of survival food and all this, that, and the other. And you can be prepared for whatever comes down the pike. I got news for you. If your neighbor finds out you've got survival food and he's starving, he's going to try to take it away from you. Most likely. So I'm not trying to sell you survival food. I'm not trying to sell you a bomb shelter. Some of you may remember there was a time in the 60s when bomb shelters were the big deal. Anybody remember that besides me? You know? You need to buy a bomb shelter. I remember I was down, I think it was down close to Hemet, California, that I was going down there, and I know some of you here know where Hemet's at, but I was going down there, and there was somebody, someplace that was selling bomb shelters, so my friend and I stopped, and we wanted to take a look in one of these bomb shelters they were selling, and I'll tell you, the average bathroom in a home is spacious compared to the amount of room you had in that bomb shelter. And I thought, I sure wouldn't want to have to stay in one of these things for even days. You'd get claustrophobic, if nothing else. You know? So I'm not trying to sell you that stuff, because that's not really how to be prepared. Now, I realize if you're living in some place like Israel right now where bombs are happening all the time and missiles are being lost at the country, having a bomb shelter is a great deal. You know? But here, where we're not really expecting that to, and I got news for you. When this all comes down the pike, that bomb shelter is not going to help you anyway. So I'm not trying to sell you that stuff. I'm not trying to sell you survival food. I'm not telling you to convert your cash into gold and all of that stuff. But there is a way to prepare. The way to prepare, and what I'm going to tell you is not my words, but it's the words of Jesus. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, Yeshua as it is in Hebrew, the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way you're going to get out of this mess is through Jesus Christ. Because guess what? If you don't accept Jesus Christ, not only are you not going to get out of this mess, but you're going to get into a bigger mess. And you're never going to get out of it. Amen. So your only way out is through Jesus Christ. Your only hope is through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in an appointed time, or in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So now is the time, he tells us. It's not something you want to put off. Because even though Jesus might not come back for days, weeks, months, years, your life here could end at any time, because we don't have any guarantee. We have no guarantee of tomorrow, we're told. You really don't have a guarantee of the next minute. I've known preachers who were standing behind the pulpit preaching their message and then falling over dead. That quick. There's been other people you probably have heard of yourself that were doing something and just fell over dead. So we have no guarantee. How do you do it? How do you prepare? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we believe Jesus is the Son of God, and we confess that he's the Son of God, believe in our heart. You know, I can do here all day and say, yeah, I think Jesus is the Son of God. But if I really don't believe it in my heart, it's not going to get me anywhere. I got to believe it in here. I got to say, it's in my heart. It's in my being. I believe. Because anybody can say just anything, but you got to believe it in the heart. And when you believe it in the heart, then you will be saved. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon us. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts and lives, Father, that you would touch lives wherever they may be. Father, help us here that are in this place today as we go forth from here, Father, that we would be prepared, Father, in our own hearts for what you have in store for us and for the days ahead. And Father, we may still have some rough times here on planet Earth, but we have a glorious future awaiting us, Father, because we have a future of eternity with you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.